This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I stabbed myself with the demon dagger is what I've done.
I forget Jorsten's voice. So we're just going to go with this, my own.
Go with what's in your heart. Things are changing. Yes, so his voice is probably changing.
That's right. A lot of things are changing. That's right. And he's like, this demon dagger, what does it look like?
Oh, we have it. Blacklaw, would you mind showing the man the demon dagger?
I look at you like, what the? I hold a hand up. And I describe the dagger. It has a jewel in the pommel. You know, it's like dirk size. Yeah, I give him the description of
we don't take it out or look at it or touch it or talk about it.
And he like he doesn't look at anybody, but his eyes kind of shift left and right or whatever. And he looks at you again, Sutton, and he says, what happened to you once you were stabbed?
I believe, didn't I die?
I'm not sure if you died, but it did steal your soul.
I did crit hit. Oh yes, I was. Shit, guys, was that was when I was undead, right?
Yes, you were undead.
Thank you. Right. Yes, I believe I was probably considered undead for a time. That has since been fixed, but it did cause significant damage, and I've got this neat little scar here. And I was undead.
And he,
I saw a bunch of crazy shit too. I didn't like any of it.
He looks at the scar, and he looks at your chest kind of intently or whatever. And he comes close with his hand, and he like backs off a little bit, and he says, he's like wants to touch it. And he's like,
yeah, I don't let him though. I do like bad. Like I'm like, no,
yeah,
what?
yeah. He's like he feels embarrassed when he tries to do that and you back off, and he says may I?
I'm gonna say no, because I don't like the general, you know, atmosphere, the mood we're creating in this little den of secrets here. I don't know why your stars are wrong. We've established this, and I don't think I want you. Maybe back away a little bit.
And he retracts his hand, embarrassed, and he says, he says, my apologies. He says, let me explain.
I relax the grip on my dagger. Like as he moves in and Soot kind of backs up, and there's this sort of like weird standoffish thing. Like my hand is just kind of at my back where the dagger is, like in the small of my back. And then he just, you know, kind of relaxes a little bit.
Dancing around it. We are dancing.
What are the other two doing?
Are they reaching for weapons?
Yeah, Saren doing.
They're both very intently watching what's happening right now.
Do they seem surprised when they find out? So they know about me. So they're not surprised, right, that I'm marked. Do they seem surprised when he relays this information that he's also been marked? I assume not, because it seems like they were kind of working on things together to like try to figure stuff out. But
roll me a perception check, because that's what we do.
I would love to do that.
I'm gonna say I'm pretty much focused on Jorfin right now, so I'm not caring. Just
Jorfin. 19 plus 4 is 23, baby.
Nice.
Okay. Again, sorry, I got distracted. Ask me the question that you were asking me again.
Do Saren and Altair seem surprised when Jorfin relays his you know, the fact that he's marked, that he's kind of, I think more the fact that he's marked more than anything else, because I feel like they seem like still a tight-knit group. So he's, you know, they've probably talked about things that are happening. But when he like undoes his shirt and like shows his chest and this pattern of stars, are they like, or, yeah, you know, is it like, you know,
Yeah.
Yeah, we all got those.
We're doing what we're doing and like fighting there. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You realize that Altair is very surprised by this and Saren is not.
Mm. Okay. All right. Just, I'm clocking that. Just following that away.
All right. So, like I was saying, Jorfinn says that in the book, The Stars at the Edge of Sanity.
Good title. I like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, shit. I had my thought process and I lost it. Give me a second.
I fucked it up. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible
person. No. It actually wasn't you because I had it just not that recently. And then I was thinking about something else. It talks about, the book talks about the opening of a portal. And he turns to Black Claws and he says, the thing that you did, whether you were aware of it or not, seems eerily similar to what has happened in this book for the portal to open. The book also talks about the sacrifice of an innocent, and what's in that passage rings true with what happened with Soot.
I can assure you, Soot is no innocent.
Oh. Soot laughs and then like shoots Black Claw look like, hey.
we are thieves after all. I mean, it's...
All right, that's fair.
Really gray. That's not that you're a bad
maybe
part.
The
that's
point is
person.
Though is that I am an innocent in the eyes of the Stars of Sanity. Maybe that's what he's saying.
I suppose that. I mean, you did not make a choice on your own. I mean,
innocent when it comes to cosmic horror, right?
Well, he kind of like looks down at himself. Like,
well, except for you and maybe two of the three other people in the room, perhaps.
When you refer to what I have done, I assume you are referencing any kind of like absolutely points kind of like up and away sort of behind us at like where the tower would be.
Right. Pieces are still falling into place as to what I might actually mean by that. But yeah, I don't, you know, I'm still learning. It's a journey that I'm on. You know, happily, by the way, this is all great stuff. Just. But please, Jorfinn, continue. Yes, perhaps in the eyes of these world enders and old ones, I might be considered an innocent.
So Jorfinn looks at Yusa and says, "Before this," and he can't think of a different word to say, but he's like, "Before this ritual, and when this thing happened to you, were you marked before that?"
Great question, Jorfinn. You're asking great questions and answers that I should have as a person moving through this world in this space. Yes, I did. Right? That's right. I did, because that happened before. That was all part of something else.
My ears just kind of go flat. Yeah.
Yes, I was totally marked.
And when you were marked, was it something of your own volition?
I'm not even going to look through my notes. No. I mean, I don't want this. I want you to take it away from me. I don't want you to touch me, but if I could find someone to take this away so that I didn't have them, so that I wasn't a part of this, that I would do it.
So you not being a willing participant makes you an innocent.
Right. On the cosmic level, this makes sense to me.
And then what happened to you with this Daemon dagger? And he's really chomping at the bit to like say something more excitable, but he says, unfortunately, without me looking at this dagger, I can't tell you for sure that is the real thing. But from what I'm getting from this book, it can't be a coincidence.
Can I try an insight on whether or not this motherfucker just wants to, he just wants the dagger in his hand. He knows what it is and he just wants it. Can I try an insight in that? That seems weird. He seems like he's being coy with me. My insight sucks. I'm not. This is not okay. No, 8 + 2 is a 10. I want to be like he just like he seems to, like you know what the dagger is. Like he knew, right? I know. I assumed he knew, and now he just wants to get it in his hand. But I rolled a 10.
Okay, I'll give you this. He seems terrified.
Okay, all right.
While this is happening, if I may,
you may.
I don't want to interrupt, but I ask. Angel guy,
Artux,
thank you. So in my head, this is all happening. I'm like, Artux, the stars on Jorfinn's chest, are they representative of the King in Yellow, or Am I mistaken?
You are correct.
Shit. Okay. Well, that's not, I mean, it's not great. Okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. I'll file that away.
You're doing a lot of filing, I hear in your brain.
Can I do an out of character thing to sort of maybe get on the same meta page here? If that's what's happening, right? If his stars are the stars of the Yellow King, doesn't that mean his stars are right?
No, because the Yellow King is trying to usurp the followers.
He's the pretender
to do his own thing. Gotcha. Whether or not that's related to Mr. Beguiler or not. Is a question still that's unanswered.
Right. There's your stars that are right for Cthulhu. There's his stars that are wrong for the Yellow King. And then there's Mr. Beguiler, who's doing his own thing, which is muddying the waters. Am I meta correct?
I think that's correct. Okay. At least our understanding of what's happening, right?
Like, whether like, or not like that's like base. That's like, that's our foundation now. Okay.
Yeah, okay. We're Team Cthulhu.
That's, yes. I mean, nobody's right. You know, but like, we're right. We're right.
Better to be the right hand of the devil, right? I mean,
that's right. Exactly.
Or the Cthulhu.
Or the, yes. Okay. All right. So let me just zip that. Okay. We're back in. I'm sorry. Wait, was it your turn? Did I just interrupt you?
No. I interrupted you while you were doing your thing, but I just wanted to interject that I'm thinking in my brain.
So he seems scared shitless. All right. So I'll just say, well, then what is, and I'm still kind of like, I'm ready. You know, I've already rolled my initiative. So just in case my surprise attack, I said, what seems to be frightening you so much about this situation? Please speak to me. Tell me what's going on.
And he says, okay, apparently I'm not being clear enough.
No.
So I will shoot this in plain terms. A portal has opened. You have started something very, well, no, let me go back. Never mind. Black Claws has started something terrible. Boom. You,
I'm just and like, he looks
to soot. He's.
Yes. Can Jorfin just punctuate all of his sentences with boom every time?
Yes, that's what he's going to do every time. Yes. And then he looks to you, soot, and he says, you have started the waves coming out. Boom. And then he's like, just think of it as a clock, a broken clock. And think of this broken clock as something you don't want to be put back together because the chimes are so loud that all you can hear is the bong, 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 bong in your head. And it takes over not only your brain, but your ears and your soul. And it controls you in a way that you don't want it to control you. That's what's happening right now. You guys have awakened something that is coming for everyone. And then he says, but, and to even complicate this more, there are other lesser things that are trying to get through as well. And from what I've been told around here, and he's like talking about the Sunfire or the Sapphire Coast.
Broken Coast, yeah.
He says that, and now there is this ghost, and you can tell he's talking about Eric the Guileful or Eric B. Guiler.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I love it. We're going to give him 50 names by then.
Yeah, right. As long as he has multiple names and we can all agree that they're all correct, I'm fine.
Yes, exactly. AKA. he says that if we don't band together and figure out what is happening here, it will not end well.
I mean, this is all very tense in here right now, but I think, and Blacklaw, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the very purpose of us coming here, was to figure out if there was any hope in that sort of pursuit.
Yes, to share information, to suss out what is actually happening here.
Seems to have gone off the rails a little bit, so this isn't great, but yes.
Jorfin, I am sorry that you have been led astray as much as I had been. Although we may be marked by different entities, I believe that we should be attempting to pull in the same direction, as we did not make rational choices on our own. Perhaps we may not be bound by the things that mark us.
Right. Like, I don't feel like I've become a puppet yet. I don't think Black Claw, I mean, no, Black Claw doesn't appear to be a puppet yet to any of this. So we still have choice, right, everyone? We can still work together.
And Jorfin kind of like looks to you like pleadingly, and he says, this is why I am having this conversation with you. This is why I wanted you to meet here in secrecy, because I don't know about you, but I like my life, barring what has happened to me recently. And he like kind of like puts his hands kind of where the stars are.
Okay, right. Right, okay, so you're not, okay, got it. So for now, we all seem to still have control of our choices. So that's something. So, I mean, is there anything in this book, The Stars at the End of Sanity, that talks about how to close said portal? Because that's what we all want, right? And he kind of looks around the room at everybody's reactions to that, to close the portal. Kurt, do I see any strange reactions to that?
Yeah, roll perception.
Yes, I will do it. I'm like hyper-focused on everyone's reaction to the idea of closing all the portals. Perception only. Any of this stuff. This is so does not go. Oh, 14, 16?
Okay. So who are you seeing if anybody, including Jorfin, has
yeah, I want it all. A Black Claws, the other two.
You don't Jorfin. See Black Claws anymore.
I've stepped back because Jorfin was going to touch me. I'm not, that's no. So now I feel like I've got everyone in my purview we all want to close the portal, right? And then I'm scanning everyone's reaction to the idea of closing the portal and having none of this happen. You know, we don't want this to happen, right?
I'll allow John to tell him what his reaction is. Black Claws.
I stabbed shit in the neck like a prison shrink.
Oh, that was a twist. All right. Well, we'll see you on the next time.
A twist I would accept. I'll start making another character, and I am like Black Claw's
thrall. You're Jorfin now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I picture it like you do, right? Like you're here. I'm kind of like just ahead to the left of you.
Yeah.
Jorfin's ahead of me. The other two are kind of like in the background.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I look at you and I say, or, you know, look, you know, back and forth between you and the group and say that when the tower exploded, when these things happened, I had no idea this would put things on a path that would lead in this direction. The fact that you have been marked, I don't even understand why, how that could be. You weren't involved. I mean, if there are all these things happening, I mean, we must attempt to close the portal. But if we spend all of our energy, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't, are we closing it to the outer gods just to leave things ripe for Eric the Guileful? Where do we best focus our attentions?
Yes, that is very important, because that's a great question. And he kind of looks around the room again like we need to find out the answers to these questions.
I mean, as far as we know, I mean, the Beguiler is already masquerading as the king. He's already in place to create his coup.
His cosmic coup.
You're muted, Kurt.
So you look to Jorfin, and of course, Jorfin is like almost relieved at like, yes, of course, closing the portal. That's what I'm talking about kind of thing, you know? So like he like relaxes, like I've finally gotten through, you know, that kind of thing, you know? Shit, I forgot names already. And I have them written down right here. Altair, like, okay, so I already told you that, like, Altair is, like, not the smartest, you know, not the smartest guy or whatever, but he's kind of like, he, like, shaking his head, like, yeah, of course we want a portal, okay, you know, closed or whatever, that kind of thing. And you look over at Saren, and Saren kind of, like, squints her eyes a little bit, and then she lets up and is still engaged in the conversation. And then, yep. And then you hear a loud footsteps come down the steps that you guys were coming down when you came into this. And you hear a voice say, well, I don't think that's such a great idea myself. And you hear the thunking of chainmail as it comes clogging down the stairs. And a side door that you didn't see behind you opens up. And in come some guards. And coming down the stairs where you were coming down is a fully armored King Shallot.
What?
With two arms?
Two arms.
Oh, come. Okay.
And the only thing that you see is yellow is the right hand of the man.
Wait, that means that it's Mr. Beguiler, right?
That's what you guys think. I'm not telling you right now because you don't know.
We don't. But we know King Shallot had one arm, right? Is that, or am I misremembering
yes.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes. All right. Yes. Thank you. Such as says, well, that's Beguiler.
Initiative, I guess.
And he looks at everybody and goes, that's him. He's in your space.
Well, that's one problem solved.
Black Claws, were we just set up by your friends? And I take my blunderbuss out off of its sling.
I didn't make any checks. I mean, I
stare. Oh, no, this is a checklist question. Checklist question.
Yeah, but like I my eyes go wide, right? As I'm looking at Jorfin, because we,
oh, yeah,
at least body language wise, got the sense that like he was relieved that we wanted to, but I didn't clock the look from Saren. So if you did,
I clocked it hard.
Okay, so I don't know that.
Can I amend that then? Can I say that I look at Black Owl and goes, I think Saren set us up. She flinched.
And she like looks at you and she starts walking towards King Shallot and takes up his right arm into her left arm and she says, well,
I don't think she makes it that far. Yeah, she has to walk past both of us. That doesn't happen. There's no way that happens.
All right.
But if she starts to stroll forward with a look, like one of us is grabbing her.
Okay, so hold on. I want to get a scene set up before we.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say action. I okay. might be yeah. farther from her than.
Right, so, yeah. So you technically you have King Shallot coming down the bottom of the steps. You've got you guys kind of sitting around in a circle talking, and you're surrounded by guards as well. So this is how I've got it, and if I think about it, maybe I'll give it to everybody else. But okay. So, oh boy, that camera is terrible.
Yeah. So there's two doors in. There's a door in the upper part too.
Yep. So here's the king.
Uh-huh.
Here is Black Claws. Here's Soot.
Uh-huh.
Jorfin. And then Altair and Saren. So Saren.
Yeah, came that's in what I had. The same door we came in?
He's coming. He came down the steps you guys came in. Yep.
Oh, what the? Okay. So he's behind me.
Yep.
And then guards came from the other door?
Game guards came from this door and
started to spread out.
Yeah, correct.
She still has to move past us. I mean, she does. If she's closer to you, I don't know that you would grab her. If she walked past me, I would certainly grab her.
I'll say this:
it would.
It's the heightened. Now that I'd probably shoot her.
Or I was gonna say, or you just blast her.
I would probably blunderbuss her if she gets close enough.
The rocks.
If she's walking back nonchalantly to be by the king, I would do it. I'm so fed up with my star scars, and this whole thing, and now being betrayed by people that I didn't trust in the first place. I will shoot her if she walks by me.
I believe in you. Like if she's got a smug look on her face, like
the smuggest.
I would assume, right? Like again, you say whether or not that's the case, I guess, right? But like if like John said, if she's nonchalantly like, oh hey babe,
yeah. Especially seeing her flinch a little bit, I would wait until it's an attack of opportunity.
But you need the range, so she's not close enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like when she gets close enough, then she leaves my personal space. No. Yeah,
she's moving towards you, so she's already not in your space.
Shoot her. I would shoot her when she got close. And yeah, absolutely. Like no. So if that's what she's doing, that's what I want to do.
All right.
Oh, we're so dead.
Yep. yeah. I mean, you went, hey, God, defend yourself. I mean, I feel bad that we're shooting the only woman in this scene, but I mean, I guess that's how it is.
But she's on the side of the bad guy.
I know she is.
She's the bad guy.
I know. I need to insert a like person that's good that's a woman as well. Now I feel like I've set this up for failure. But you guys didn't think that was going to happen kind of anyway, but kind of did. So yeah, okay, enough. There's a lot of chunk I'm going to have to cut out because we've got a lot of talking to do, which is fine. Again, it's fine. So Saren kind of like gets the look like, you know, like, oh, we've trapped you now, you know, and she has this smug look on her face and she starts to walk towards King Shallat.
Yeah, so as she goes by me, I have this incredulous look on my face like, what the? And then I just pull the trigger like and open salvo.
You're like my lips curl back. You could see my fangs, my ears start to come forward as he recognizes the betrayal.
Betrayal.
Hold on one second. I'm going to do.
Like Eric, Mr. Begala was a powerful being, right? So it's just, yeah, that doesn't matter.
So here we go, John. Like we, like if we only, like we both have invisibility, so we could just kind of bounce.
Technically, yeah. I have one more use of that.
I have it as well because I don't think I used mine, or did I? Hold on, did I mark it? No, I didn't because you used it on me, on us.
I used it on you so that I could do the whole IBS.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, still feel great about it. Definitely haven't thought about it multiple times since then. So sorry. I'm so sorry. Gerald, the guard with IBS. That's the persona that I'm in. nice. Yeah. So that's what I do. However you want to adjudicate it.
Okay. Well, I don't think she's going to see it coming. So I think that you can roll with advantage and roll an attack.
We'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to roll. I'm going to blunderbuss Saren for betraying my friend Blackclaw. I can't get it to show. It's in my extra attacks thing.
I think it was like a 3d6 or a 4d6 or something crazy.
No, the damage is 2d6 plus 3. That's the damage that I took from the... All right. With advantage, there's an 18 plus 5, 23.
Yeah, I think that hits.
I'm going to use Midwest Resin Geek d6s. Beautiful.
Nice.
I love these things. There's a 5 and a 3, so 8 damage. Oh, no, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 damage.
I say it's kind of mediocre, but I believe in you.
Yeah.
what did you have that loaded with?
Rocks.
Well, you probably would have had shot at least the start, right?
Yeah, I've only used it once, I think. So whatever, I still have like a little bit of a bag of shot. So just shot.
Okay.
Isn't shot rocks?
No, I mean it would be balls, right? I mean it would be
a little ball
pack with it's like grape shot almost, right? It's essentially a shotgun.
Yeah, so I'll have to reload it, but I do it. Boom.
we all looked at Dwarfin to do the boom.
Dwarfin.
yeah.
Punctuate and my blunderbuss.
Right. Yeah, and as quickly as this wry smile appears on Saren's face, it disappears into shock as she gets blown into the chest with this shot, and it rips through her clothes and leaves all these bloody pock marks in her chest, and she falls on her butt and clenches her chest and starts to hyperventilate. All right, everybody roll for initiative.
Ooh, that's not great. that's a 10.
Nice. I got a 16 plus 4, 20.
Yeah. Okay.
John, I only have two spells I can use. I fucking hate it.
That's amazing.
I mean, I got spells, but I only have one second level spell left. And okay, I think I know what I'm going to do. Where's my? There we go.
I'm sorry, so what'd you get?
20.
Black Claws?
10.
I'm sorry, what was that?
10. 10.
Boy, every time.
Jones.
Okay. I was 10, like, 10. Every time you say it, all I hear is N. And I'm like, I think it's 10. But I don't know. Okay. All right. So, Yeah, so you've got everybody spooked. So you are up to do whatever you want to do after that.
Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to... So in the moment, you said before you had use of invisibility still, or did you use it?
I have it, but I don't know that he would bail on Jorfin since he kind of has a handle on what's going on.
That's true. We can't bail on Jorfin and the other guy. What's his name? God damn it. We can't do that. You're right.
Altair.
Even though it may sound like I'm being a dick, I'm not trying to. You guys are metagaming, kind of like, well, we can't do this. You should be reacting instead.
Yeah, it's true. I was just trying to confirm that he said he had a use of it because he mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So I think what I'm going to do is, go ahead.
How many guards?
There are six guards.
Six guards and the king.
And Saren is not dead yet.
Yeah.
Or she's not dead. How about that? Because who knows what's going to happen? I love how he just said yet. Like, oh, she's going to die.
Okay. I'm going to cast my final third level spell then. I'm going to cast Blindness Deafness. And I'm going to cast it as a third. Or no, I can't do that. Using a spell. Sorry, third. Okay. I'm going to cast it on the king. Casting it on King Shallot. So. You can blind or deafen a foe. Choose one creature that you can see within the range to make a constitution saving throw. So he's got to make a con saving throw. If it fails, you are blind. He's blinded for 1 minute.
Okay. And that's forever.
At the end of each of its turns, the target can make a con save. On a success, the spell ends. He could succeed at one of his turns and be unblinded.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I do. I blast her with the blunderbuss, and then I turn and I say, "You're blind now." And that's how I cast that spell. I wave my hands and
throw and then, some glitter.
Right. I produce glitter. I throw it I just throw it up in the air. You're blind now. And then
you glitter my eye.
Yeah. And then I would move to get some space, but that's okay. Assuming everything goes well.
Okay, so with that one, it automatically happens, correct?
What automatically happens?
Your spell. There's no check right away. It happens to them.
He has a constitution saving throw. He's got to beat 14.
14, okay. Got it. Ooh, I didn't even roll in my tray. Nope, that is a 13. So that does
goodness. He's blind now for for 1 minute, as long as he keeps failing that check.
Yep. And just because I didn't set the scene for him as well, he's got this really heavy chainmail, but he also has this incredibly long sword that hangs down off of his right hand. And it also is jewel encrusted as well with seven yellow stones going down the middle of it.
Ooh.
And when you look at it, it almost looks like it's alive and it is dripping yellow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He says.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. So let's say this. Let's say that I want you to paint me a really good word picture with this. Like, how do you blind him? How do you deafen him?
So it's a choice, either blind or deafen. I just chose blind. I just want him blind.
Oh, as long as
possible. Because I make the shot and I turn quickly around and I look at him and I just I want to get away from him because he's closest to me apparently. So I cast the blind spell. I throw the glitter and flap my hands in front of his face and you're blind now. And then I jump right back. Like that's I jump away from him, back closer to Black Claws, if I could. That's what I would like to do with my turn.
Well, technically you were still when you backed up, you were pretty much side by side with him. And you guys are probably about 10 feet away from him, probably, because it's not a big room.
Okay. Yeah. I would just, it's more like just to get space to get away from him. But I know there's guards on the other side of the room, but I would just move a little bit away.
Okay.
Maybe towards the center of the room, I guess, would be.
Yeah, yeah. That would, that's kind of where Jorfinn is, so maybe you'd be closer to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. The never so well. That sounds harsh. The even though he sometimes doesn't get a clue, Altair kind of sees what's happening here. He like looks at the guards. He looks at the king. He stares at Saren. He looks to Jorfinn, who like Jorfinn is like mouth agape, staring at Saren sitting on the floor. And Altair looks to the guards and says, "You're going to pay for that." And he conjures up a spell, and it is shit. I had all these things for everybody, and then of course I don't have them with me right now. So give me a second. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I just need to get to it. Okay. Okay. And he looks kind of to his left, where a couple of the guards are kind of surrounding him, and he conjures up a cloud of daggers. And casts the spell at them, and it looks like it's like raining daggers. It's just they just keep dropping and slashing at them. All right, so I'm gonna roll for damage there. So he is actually casting this at third level, so he's going to be doing 6d4 damage. All right, so he So like I said, all these daggers are just kind of like coming in droves on these two guards, and they're just screaming in pain as each of them just takes apart, you know, a little slashes of like their face and their chest and their legs, and they start kind of bleeding out. And as they're kind of going to cover up one of them, it slashes again. And both of them in kind of a panic actually drops their swords to the ground.
Nice.
All right. King Shallad is next. So he's actually going to do the save. And hopefully,
is it not beginning of turn or end of turn, John?
Oh, it's a good question.
It's usually end of turn.
Yeah, because it was just, this is his turn.
But it's usually
at the end of each of his turns. So that's at the end. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So then he has this like guttural roar in his chest, and he says, "Oh, you're going to pay for that." And takes his sword and swaps it into his left hand and uses his right hand and pushes out a spell with force as this invisible force field comes towards Soot and Black Claws. Cause he kind of uses the trajectory of when you were kind of saying like, "Oh, this is, you know, you're blinded," you know? So he's like blindly do it, you know, shooting an invisible force field at you. So I want you both to roll me a dexterity check with advantage, and you have to beat a 13.
Is this a save? Because I'm proficient with dexterity saves, or am I just doing straight?
Yes.
Okay. With advantage. Oh, 15.
Yeah, that's not going to do it, but I have inspiration. What's your inspiration, John?
What's my inspiration?
Yes. What, is it a d4 or d6?
Oh, you have what do you call it? Yes. Good call. Let me just pull up. It's a D6.
It's the 1980 song by Chicago, "You're the Inspiration."
That's always playing in the background whenever I give someone inspiration.
That's right. On request.
That's a 14.
A 14?
Yep.
All right. So, you know, he goes to do this, you know, pushing this invisible force field that goes to knock you down. And you both kind of like almost see it coming. It almost looks like it has an actual form. A lot of times when people are using these force fields, it almost looks like kind of like a push of wind. But for you, it looks almost like a moving door of wind. And as it comes towards you, you're able to definitely get out of the way.
Like telegraphs it. Because we can see him just kind of like throw his hands at it.
Yeah. Because he can't really tell. So he's like, "What do I do? Hold on. I'm going to roll another check for somebody else."
Oh,
nice. Okay. And then one of the guards that's kind of behind you guys or to the side of you guys where that push was coming avoids that as well. All right. Black Claws, you are up.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Um, So the sword is dripping yellowness. His hand is clearly, like, it's not a glove, right? Like, it's a yellow hand.
It is.
Yeah,
just think of a very, very jaundiced looking hand.
Did he make a save? Did you roll a save at the end?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no, I didn't save. Roll that. What was the number on it again?
14.
Okay. He does not. So after he throws that, he almost even stumbles a little bit, kind of like, you know, like, and you can tell he kind of mumbles to himself, like, you know, that kind of thing. Like, he can't believe that he's been bested by Soot.
That has to be so frustrating. Yes, I'm such a little piece of shit.
I think I'm going to do something stupid.
Yes! Yes, John!
I definitely want to kill him, but also, like, we kind of need information because I don't really know who the, like, it could be Mr. Beguiler or it could be... So as I'm doing the stupid thing, I'm thinking in my head to Artux, like, can you sense who this is? Like, do you have any indication of who, like, is this the kid? Is this Holly or is this Eric the Guileful? As I am, so he's in front of us. So I want to move around and, like, essentially get behind him with the dagger to his throat.
Ooh.
And then yell out to the guards, you know, yell out to them, throw down your weapons.
Okay. So before we get to that, you ask the question in your mind's eye to Artux, and Artux goes, I can help you, but I would have to take control and I would need contact.
Then do it. Cause I'm already moving in that direction. Like, I'm asking and I'm sidling, you know, I'm tiptoeing with my little fucking paws. And, you know, I'm going to grab him behind him anyway, right? Like, across the chest and knife to the throat. So, like, you know, like, I, like, so as I'm moving in, I'm like, now, like, as I grab him, I'm like, you know, like, do it now. And okay. Then, you
so,
know.
What side of him are you going on, the left side or the right side?
I'm right-handed. So I think, like, as I'm looking at him this way, I'm ranging to my left and around because he can't see me anyway.
Yeah.
Left and around to get behind him. So left arm around and dagger up within the right hand.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you two pieces of information.
Okay.
Number one, one of the guards will get an opportunity of attack because they're on either side of the king.
Oh, there's guards around him?
Down. Yes, and they haven't been knocked down yet. One on each side of them.
Oh, then I wouldn't do that then.
Not super close, but enough that they would at least get one opportunity of attack, and then you'd be able to essentially pretty much get him in that hold.
And I'll do it. I'll do it anyway. I didn't see that in the picture that there
you
was anybody.
You did say it was going to be something stupid.
That's because I didn't add the guards.
Oh, okay. Because I just saw him. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because they're surrounding you. I didn't put it on the map. I apologize.
Gotcha. Okay. No, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. What is your AC?
It is 16 currently.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh no.
So the guard goes, he actually sees this opportunity to attack you as he can obviously tell you're going to get grapple him or, you know, whatever. And he pulls out a dagger and goes to lunge into you to stab you with it. And something happens with, like, the lighting in this little basement or whatever, and it reflects off of King Shalat's King Shalat's, God, it sounds like I'm saying schlut, King Shalat's sword, and it blinds him for a half a second, and he ends up stabbing King Shalat in the side where the chainmail is separated. And the guard looks so up far. And the guard looks up in, like, horror as the king goes, you know, looks at his at or kind of, even though he can't see, he kind of looks in the direction of what's happening, the stinging pain, and then all of a sudden he's and
gets a little cat hair in his eye. Smack him in the face with my tail.
You know what? Now I feel bad. Now I feel bad for him.
But unfortunately, he doesn't take too much damage from that. But yeah, okay. So I want you to roll me a strength check because you're technically kind of grappling him, but you're going to get it with advantage because he can't see.
Yeah, so instead of a sneak, it's more of a dash. If the guards are there, I just kind of you know, kind of duck by and.
Yep.
High is a 15. I have no bonus, so yep. it's straight.
Yep, 15. That's okay. Yeah, with him being blinded, there's no problem there. So like, now, you know,
even though I'm not strong,
paint me the pic.
Yeah, I think I'm big, right? I'm not like a lithe tabaxi like you see in the player's handbook. He's more of a panther, so he's more solid. You know, so even though he's not strong necessarily, he's more dexterous. He's still big. So we're standing there. He pushes this wall of force and we kind of like, you know, sort of duck out of the way. And I use that opportunity with the duck to then launch myself forward, seeing if I could scoot past the guard to get up behind him. And, you know, he, you know, lunges in, stabs the king as my tail comes around and like smacks him in the face. And then I just get up behind him. And as I, you know, I'm like, you know, put your weapons down. And then I, you know, yell in my head as my arm comes around to catch him, you know, get him across the chest. I say, now, in my head, nobody hears it.
Yeah. So you're going to have to touch him kind of in the neck. He's wearing the plate mail or chain mail or whatever. So yeah, you take, you know, again, you'd have one, the dagger over the throat. And then also the other one kind of behind it to use it kind of as force, just in case he decides to move or anybody makes a move towards you. And nobody drops anything, but everybody freezes.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And in that moment, Artux starts taking over. You can feel yourself. It's almost like falling into water. But also when you but instead of falling into water and feeling like you can't breathe, it's like you fall into water and you're still cognizant. You can still move. You can still breathe. You can still talk. It doesn't feel like you're drowning or anything like that, but you can tell that you are not. Yeah, you are a passenger right now in your own body.
And I think what Soot sees as he looks over is like my eyes just fucking roll up in fucking back of my head.
Yeah, Soot just goes, "Hey, Artox."
What color eyes do you have, Black Glass?
They are blue, I believe.
Okay. Yep. So, and another thing you can tell is when it changes, his eyes turn from a blue to a, like a dark gray. And so, you know, you see that, but then also what, Black Claws doesn't see, but maybe feels and can tell is that there is a like lit aura that kind of like emanates from just outside of his body. And you have this sense of searching. You have this sense of feeling. You have this sense of warmth as Artux is trying to dig into the being that is standing before you. And you see memories. You see memories of what you've read about in history with King Shalott. You relive his illness as a kid. You feel his disdain for his dad and for how much disdain his dad had for him, even though he, you know, wanted love from his dad and never quite got what he wanted, and, you know, rising up through the ranks and becoming his own king, and the death of his father, and even though it was a sad day, it was also almost a good day for him too, because it was he was able to let go of all the pain that his father caused him. And then you see this moment in time where this person dressed in black robes and but you can't see his face whispers into King Shalott's ear and says, "For true power, you must have true knowledge. Let me show you the true knowledge." And as you feel that Artux is trying to pry into it more and more, it's almost like when you're watching a movie and the movie kind of cuts out, and it's just kind of like, that kind of thing. And it's like Artux is trying to search and see what kind of happens after this, and it's stuck and it won't quite move on to the next thing. And you audibly hear Artux start to breathe really hard, and he keeps breathing harder, and just and then he's like, I must recuse myself. And you feel him give back and give to you back your body. And he says, this is the one true king. This is not the pretender king. This is not the beguiler or the guileful. He says, this is the true king, but he is tainted.
He's been corrupted. I think when that happens, right, like he kind of comes back into me, and like I, you know, take a breath, and you know, like all the realization like fucking hits me, right, like a hammer. And I think I actually step back and let him go. I think it's so surprising that I you know, just like fuck.
Yeah.
But I don't think I say anything yet, because I think he's shocked, right? It's like 6 seconds. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I think we're gonna cut from you, and we're gonna come to Jorfinn. So Jorfinn actually does something that you're kind of surprised that he does. He actually walks up to Saren and he kneels by her.
Oh boy.
And he talks to her, and he says, What are you doing? I don't understand. We're in this together. That we're trying to fight what's coming. And she just kind of laughs and like coughs up a little bit of blood, and she's just like, fighting what's coming. I thought you were the smart one. I'm so surprised that you just think that you're gonna be able to stop whatever's coming. It's very hilarious. And Jorfinn kind of gets this really like screwed up face, and you can tell he's like in between like wanting to cry and wanting to like choke her, or like, you know, yell at her, or like, you know, or run away. Like he's got, you can tell there's a lot of emotion there. And he can't believe it. And he's like, I trusted you. My mistake. And he puts a hand on the ground, and as he says this, you can see his hand turns into turns green and turns almost leafy, almost, and then viney and prickly, and it goes into the ground, and it comes up through the ground and grabs Guard's legs, tries to grab King Shalott, it tries to grab Saren to keep her in place. I'm going to roll and see if anybody's entangled with that. Everybody. Everybody from the guards to King Shalott to Saren is entangled in these vines that are not only circling around legs, but also with the prickly, god damn it, what are those?
Vines?
Thorns?
Thorns, thank you, god, seriously. Had it in my head, lost it. I do this all the time, sorry. Thorns just implanted. And you hear people's, like, you know, just grunting with, like, pain. And he looks to Soot, he looks to Black Claws, he looks to Altair, he says, we have to flee, come. And he, goes towards the back door where the guards came in.
I think I kind of like shake my head, you know, it's like coming out of like a, you know, just sort of like zoning out, you know, whatever, like just waking up kind of thing. He like shakes his head and he's like, come on.
Soot runs.
He's just like pushing forward.
Yeah, go.
I'm going to roll one roll just to make sure that nobody tries to grab you. I'm sure it'll be fine. Okay. Yeah. I want both of you to roll me a dexterity check.
Love it. Is it a dex save?
Dexterity save. Sorry. I always get those wrong. Apologies. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't matter if I wasn't. Like, it only matters because I'm if you're proficient.
Oh God, what the hell did I just do?
Oh, 16 for Soot.
Oh, nice. Four. Nice. So, yeah. So Jorfin and Soot both run towards the door and get out. And Black Claws, you are stopped by one of the guards. He like grabs your arm or whatever, and he's like, "Just because I'm entangled doesn't mean you can't get away."
Oh boy!
I slash him with my claws, like on his hand, just so they'll let me go. Right.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to have you roll for it or whatever. I'll just say that you do that. He, like,
nice.
Winces in pain and releases you.
Ah, bad kitty.
I'm going to go. I'm going to run the steps.
Yeah. And you, so you get in this, go through this door, and you realize that these are, like, hallways that are going underground. So there's actually an underground pathway underneath the school where the guards came from. You don't see it, it's lit up by torches, but it's not super dark, but it's not super lit either. You're running away. You can hear everybody trying to kind of like get out of their entanglements and stuff like that. You can hear hacking as you guys are trying to run away or whatever. And Jorfin says, I know that this school was not the safest of places, but I come to trust the people that I worked with here, the people that I loved. And like he looks to Altair as you guys are running or whatever, and Altair kind of almost looks to the side, like he's like he knows it's not him that did it or whatever, but he's also like, can't believe we believed in Saren or whatever kind of thing. And he says, I know that there are others out there that are like us. That was something I didn't want to relay at the beginning, just because, I don't know, maybe in the back of my head, I was not trusting enough, which I apologize. But I think that we need to find the others that are like us. And I think we need to figure out what's going on before it's too late.
That is the king. That is the true king. He's been corrupted.
But his arm.
He's been corrupted by Hali.
And Jorfin, Jorfin shakes his head, like, yes. And, you know, it's kind of, he's like, the king in yellow, he is a trickster. He is definitely a false god. He promises things. He does give, but, you know, even if you know that some power is giving to you, that you have no power, that's why I will never give myself to him.
Is there anything we can do to save him?
And he kind of like thinks about it, and he's like, there are some books there are some books that have been inaccessible to me that tell of one creature's story of how they got away from the cursed Hali. Maybe in those books is the key.
Are they here? Do we have time?
He says, from what I've heard, yes, they are present. Only bad news is that this library is a cursed library that lives a new god. Roll me a
history?
Insight check.
No,
history? Yeah. Probably it might be more of it. Well, it's kind of history too.
Am I trying to read him, or am I trying to, like,
no, you're trying to, you know that something happened in you, God. And I'm trying to tell it to you if you can't remember. So I was like,
I think it would be history, right? Because I'm not trying to read him. It wouldn't be a,
yeah.
It wouldn't be an insight.
Yeah. So it would definitely be history. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep.
I have no bonus.
So you could roll two. I would just have you roll with disadvantage.
Okay. 16.
Yes.
I paid attention in class.
Nice.
Ooh, gross. 10.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So,
oh, don't disadvantage. No, 4. It's a 4. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, Soot is clueless.
Like Hali and then Beguiler. I get it.
But, Black Claws, you realize that the final battle between Eric the Guileful and his, the people that bested him was in U'God, and it's a wasteland that really hasn't been visited by most people because it's pretty sketchy territory. And, you know, so a lot of times when you hear people that have gone to Ugad for certain things, haven't come back.
Hmm. Okay.
And he says, this will be a long and arduous check, a long and arduous trip. So if we're going to do this, we're going to either need a couple of things. A, friends. B, just prepare ourselves for the worst.
Like I assume at some point, like, we pause and we're kind of like standing there. He like throws an arm on each shoulder and he says, well, we have the first one covered. Nice. Well, we certainly can't stay here. We must move.
Yes, you must have a way out of campus. You have all these secret tunnels here.
He says, I can definitely get us out of here.
And then he leaves.
And then he goes, that's it. It is now a GM-less experience. We've done it.
Yeah, he's like, I have an idea. And he's out of here.
Nah, shit.
All right. So he says, I know a way out of here. It actually leads us to the neighboring city of Treplid. That is Treplid, Treplid. And he says, I myself may have other colleagues that may be able to help us.
Well, lead on.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.